Okay, so we'll recap where we are. We had a machlekes. We seem to have a machlekes in the Mishnah. If you need to have pagam by meila, we had a machlekes between Rav Akiva and the Tanakhama, Akiva and the Chachamim, and the Chachamim seem to have said that that you need to be in order to be chayev a kol meila, you need to have a pagam. And Rav Akiva said, no, even if you're not moyel. Even if you're not pagam, that's Rav Akiva. And the Chachamim say anything which has a pagam, anything which gets a devaluation, so the halacha is that unless you devaluate it, there's no mila. That's what we had in the Mishnah. So we said simply learning the Mishnah would have been easy, because we would have learned that according to Rav Akiva, mila is hishtamshus, using hekdesh. There's an issue to use hekdesh, just like any surah hanor. So everybody understands that if you have hanor from oral or kalayim, so it doesn't make a difference if you devaluate the object or you don't devaluate the object. Avodah Zorah would make a difference. It's also bahanor, right? Arayas would make a difference if you devaluate the object. On the other hand, according to the Chachamim, so me'ila is a form of gzela, and therefore, if you don't evaluate the object, it's like you didn't take anything away from hektish. Something which doesn't get devaluated at all, so then the way you take it away is by using it. Which is precisely the Rambam that we brought down here in the Shir as well. The Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha Hey, where the Rambam says clearly that if you have a kol, something has kedushas haguf, so there the thing is not oimed for its value. That's the Pasha Taishin Rambam. It's not there for its value, and Tosfos says it also by us in the sugya. So the Rambam says, "Eina kein eliyesh moelachamoyel kulam moalu," and the Rambam ends up by saying, "Shekulam kedushas haguf hein." Anything which has kedushas haguf, so the way you take it from hekdesh is just by using it, because the thing is anyway not oimed for its value. Which really is the way the Gemara concludes also by us. If you look at the end of the sugya, the last piece of Gemara. On your test, the Gemara says that. The Gemara says, Hanenem in Achatos. The Mishnah Paskin that if you have Anor from a Kol Mechatos, right, Loi Moal Ad Sheyivgoy. There's no Me'il unless you devaluate it. So the Gemara wants to know, what are we talking about? The Gemara says, Hechidomi, Michti, Ibebe Metmimo, Haimu Koshel Zov. What does the Gemara mean here? If it's a Tmimo, meaning it's going for a Kol, so hekdesh doesn't have value interest here. It's a kol. Doesn't make a difference if the chatas is going to be worth, at the time that it's put on the mizbech, it's going to be worth $1,000, it's going to be worth $995. And therefore, how do you take away from hekdesh here just by using it? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, Hainu Keshel Zov. That would be like a gold cup, which doesn't get devaluated. The Gemara says, Amar Apoto Bebalas Mumaskina. We're talking about a chatas, which is a balmum. What do you do with a chatas? The balmum, you redeem it. Oh, something that's oimed for redemption is called financial. It's financial, so we go back to pagam. That's the Gemara. So like I said, it would be very easy to learn the sugya. We would make a very clear line and say that according to Rabbi Akiva, mi'ilah has nothing to do with taking away from hekdesh. And according to Chachamim, it absolutely does. And that's why something which has a pagam, you have to go and evaluate it. But we went through the sugya last week, we saw that that poshut way of learning doesn't work. Because if that would be the case, then Rebbe Akiva should always hold that you don't need a pagam. But the conclusion of the Gemara was that even Rebbe Akiva agrees. Something which has easily a pagam, it easily gets devaluated, Rebbe Akiva also agrees. The Gemara says, a beged chitzayim, even according to Rebbe Akiva, you need a pagam. So the machloikas between Rebbe Akiva and the Chachamim seems to be getting now very, very narrow. It seems to be, according to Rebbe Akiva, something which readily gets devaluated, he agrees to the Chachamim. And something that takes longer, but then flip it. Something that doesn't devaluate for a very long time, even the Chachamim agree you don't need a pagam. So we're really, Rebbe Akiva now and the Chachamim are first cousins. There's almost no gap between them. So although Al-Tachtus is very nice, But to try to understand a machlokes makes it very hard, because now they both sound the same. So what are they arguing about? They're very, very close. Something that gets that devaluates once in 10 years, like a jewelry. They both agree. Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim agree. You don't need a pagan. Just using it. It's like kedushas aguf. Something which devaluates quickly. They both agree. You do need a pagan. The whole machlekes is in this narrow area where something gets devaluated, but not fast, but not all that slow either. So it's like a noted devaluation with time. That's really what the Gemara comes out. That's where there's a machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. So we didn't have clarity. What is the machlekes? That was really the main thing we were trying to understand. What is this whole thing of pagam, and what is the machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham? The second thing that we were struggling with was the hemshach of the sugya, in which the Gemara brings down the whole on Yud Ches Amud Beis that we went through the sugya, that seems to bring down that by meila is a tziruf between what you do and what your friend does. So if you have an offer from a chatziputa, and you give a friend a chatziputa, so on that the Gemara says that there's me'ila. And we had that old Rishonim ask, why is there me'ila in that case? And we seem to have a machlekes Rishonim, how to learn the conclusion. We had the Rambam. The Rambam holds that there's no problem. You have an offer, your friend has an offer. No, it's mitzaref. That was the Rambam we had. We had Tosfos in our sugya that seemed to make it very limited. And he seemed to say, we're talking about a case where you put it into your friend's mouth. Taka, if you would have a chatzisha, a pahuta of hanoah, and you would tell your friend, go take the other half, and he would have hanoah, Tosfos seems to say, then you wouldn't be chayav. Because then we would take out the rule that we have, a zen nena, a zen mischayav lo yamlinu. We don't say that. If you had hanoah and he... Right, that's the Tosfos says that rule would apply. The rule that the Gemara says in Kiddushin, which is if you send a shliach to eat chalev. So of course, without the din of ein shliach l'dvar avera, of course there's a din of ein shliach l'dvar avera. But even without the din of ein shliach l'dvar avera, the Gemara says zen nena v'zem eschayiv lo yamrina. Right, the classic example of ein shliach l'dvar avera would be you send a shliach, let's say, to go ahead and kill somebody, which is the case the Gemara gives with Shammai Azokin, right? Or you send a shliach to go to Mechal Shabbos. You send a shliach to go be mafresh truma before Bikurim, right? So you send a shliach to do a mais avera. So there we say, ein shliach l'dvar avera. But the Gemara says that when you have a question of hanor, I go send a shliach into McDonald's, and I say, have a cheeseburger. There the Gemara says the rule is then, and if it's chayiv lo yamrinan, without the din of ein shliach l'dvar avera. If we have to get a clarity in that sugya, I think the simple way to learn the sugya is, it's like a mitzvah shebaguf in the reverse. Just like by a mitzvah shebaguf, there's no havamina, we don't have any psukim to teach us that I can't send you to keep Shabbos for me, and I can't send you to make Kiddush for me. I'm not talking about Shemei HaKohen, I'm talking about where you'll make Kiddush someplace else. I can't send you to wear tefillin for me, I can't send you to wear tzitzis for me. So just like over there, it won't work because the idea is that it's the experience of the mitzvah, the physical experience. So same thing by an avera. An avera where the physical experience is the avera, so then shlichus doesn't work anyway. Without the dinner, even if it'll be a shlich l'dvar avera, shlichus doesn't work. That's Tosfos' problem. What? That's a svara. The Tosfos chid and the there's no marker. In fact, the Or Samech, that's what Or Samech says, this idea that, like a philosophical approach, he says you have to look at the tachlit hamerkazit of the mitzvah. What the Eibishter wants, that's what he says. That you have to look at what the Eibishter wants from the mitzvah. And by tefillin, the Eibishter wants that your body should experience anachas tefillin. And therefore, of course, you can't make a shliach to, just like by a mitzvah, by a avera, same thing. The Torah doesn't want that your body should experience the benefit of chalev, of arayas, of whatever it is. So there you can't make a shliach. That's Tosfos' problem. So we had, like I said, the Rambam ignores Tosfos' problem. The Rambam says, I don't care. He has anah, you have anah, don't make no difference. So the Rambam doesn't even go make it to the radar screen. And Tosfos, it does make it to radar screen, and he makes this adjustment that you put it into your friend's mouth, then we don't have a problem. So half a pruta worth you ate. And the other half a pruta, or you had a hana, whatever way, and the other half a pruta you put into your friend's mouth. The struggle that we had last week was that even after Tosfos gives his teretz, it says, what does that help, Tosfos teretz? The bottom line is your friend is the one who's having the hana. And Avi Ezri, Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Levroch, and the Sefer Avi Ezri, Hilchos Mila, he actually feels that Tosfos didn't even answer his question. Because he's bothered for a different reason. He says, if Tosfos is already making the ukimta, that you put it into your friend's mouth, again, Rav Shach is not learning the way we were learning. He's learning that Tosfos, this is a way of you being chayiv, not for hanor, but for taking it out of the rishus of hektish. That's what Rav Shach is learning. Rav Shach is learning half a pruta hanor you had yourself, and the other half a pruta you chayiv for taking it out of rishus hektish. How do you do that? By putting it into your friend's mouth. So if Shach says, if that's the case, I don't know why Tosfos has to make his whole fancy ukimta. He says, why doesn't Tosfos just say, listen, I had hano of a chatzi pruta, and then I told my friend, go take the piece of meat from Hektish. As soon as my friend picked it up to put it into his mouth, as soon as he put it into his mouth, he took it out of Rishus Hektish on my behalf. So if Shach says, I don't even know what Tosfos accomplished. If Tosfos is already learning that when you take the piece of meat, you put it into your friend's mouth, then we don't have a problem of Zenev Zeh Mischayev. So if Shach is learning that, is because that would be an act of Hoitzoh Mirshus Hektish. He says, if that's the case, I don't understand why Tosfos needed to make the fancy case that I went to my friend and I stuck the meat into his mouth. It's such a crazy case. Just go back to the simple way of learning, which is, I used the half a pruta, and I told him, go eat. And the second he went and picked it up and put it in his mouth, he's my shliach to take it out of Rishus Hektish. It's a great kasha from Rav Shach. If you learn Tosfos the way he's learning that what Tosfos answered basically is the reason why there's no problem of Zenen of Zemeschayev is because you're not really being moil through Hanor. You're being moil by taking it out of the domain of Hektish. So the way Rav Shach is learning, which is definitely the simple way to learn Tosfos, he's saying, I don't understand why Tosfos needed now his case. Just go back to the way we learned originally. You ate a chatzi pruta, you sent him a shliach to eat a chatzi pruta. You're not having anor, you're not being moil when it goes into his stomach or down his throat, where then you could ask me a question, Zenen of Zemischayev lo yamrinun. But rather, your me'il is as soon as your friend picks it up and puts it into his mouth, he takes it out of his shus hektish, you're moil. It's a great kasha. That's a shach's kasha. Karanera seems to be bothered by the same thing now that he doesn't elaborate the way Rav Shach does. I believe the Karanera is bothered by the same problem to understand Tosfos. But either way, we have to explain this dispute between the Tosfos and the Rambam. That Tosfos seems to learn that there is a problem of Zen, and the Rambam seems to learn there's no problem. The Rambam learns the Sugya simply. That was the second struggle that we had in the Sugya. And the end of the sugya, which we went through the sugya as well, Omar Ma, we'll just read it again on your Testament Aleph. Omar Ma, Nefesh Echor HaYochid VeEchor HaNosi VeEchor HaMashiach BeMashma. That the Melech and the Kohen Gadol also have Me'ila. SheYochol, I would think, that what? Says the Gemara Pshita Nefesh Ksib. What would I think? Why do I need the Torah to tell me specifically that there's Mi'ila by the Melech and the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, Ma'u detem om rachmono, v'asher yitem imenu al zo, v'aylav zohu, do'im shich b'gavei, k'mash malon. So the Gemara here says that I would think that there's no Mi'ila by the Melech and the Kohen Gadol because they got Mashicha from the Shem HaMishcha. So this also, we had a tremendous difficulty to understand this. So even after the adjustment that the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz made, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz said, we're not talking about, first of all, most of the Rishonim have the Girsa the way it's in front of us. The Girsa the way it's in front of us, it's even more difficult. In front of us, the Girsa is, I would think that a king or a Kohen Gadol, since they're anointed with Shemen HaMishche, I would think there's no Din Me'ila by them. Period. No Me'ila. They're never Chayev called Me'ila. Kamash Malon, that they are. That seems to be the what the sugya is saying. And the Lachoy were back to the same Pshita. The Gemara's question was Pshita. And the L'chayu the Gemara didn't answer the question because they were anointed with Shemar Mishcha. What does that have to do with anything? And Rabbeinu Peretz tries to make it a little better by saying that even though the Gemara says Nasi and Mashiach, which both includes the king and the Kohen Gadol, we don't really mean that. We mean just the Kohen Gadol. That's Rabbeinu Peretz's adjustment. He says Nasi is just saying it together, but it doesn't mean Nasi. Meaning, there's no Havamina that a king won't have Me'ila. The only Havamina is Kohen Gadol. And even that we were struggling. Yitzi was trying to help us out, and Reb Daniel was trying to help Yitzi out. There was a lot of achdus going on, but pshat in the Gemara we weren't getting. And that was to maybe say that the Kohen Gadol, he's like a piece of hektish, and therefore whatever he benefits is almost like it's the Rishus hektish. And this was very, very difficult to understand. On a philosophical level, I can understand, but as a pshat, I don't understand. The Kohen Gadol has his own packet. He has his own kiss. When money goes into his account, it's his own. It's not only that. I mean, you want to go to the furthest extent. The Gemara here discusses if you use kachim for kachim. There's also Mila. The Gemara says if you use kachim, and for that we don't have a problem. The Havamin over there, it's pashut, right? You take kachim and you use it for your korban, personal korban. You buy a chatas with it. Everybody agrees it's a Mila. Hektish for hektish, not hektish for Kohen Gadol, who philosophically is like a representative of whatever you want to say here. I'm talking about hektish for hektish, but just an abuse. It's an abuse of hektish because you're taking hektish of one and you're using it for your kol. That's also meal. When you moil, when you bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, or only after they spritz the blood, but there's definitely meal, right? Kol shekain, ben benoy shel kol shekain. That if you have a Kohen Gadol who has a regular kiss, he has a regular pocket, like everybody else. So when he takes hektish, he puts it into his account. I can't understand in a million years how anybody could look at this and say, well, it's not really going out of Rishus Hektish. It's not going out of Rishus Hektish, it's going to his personal account. Makadosh Anisha, whatever he wants, he does with that account. He buys a house, buys a car, it's his personal account. Why would that not be Mila? Why would we say, well, that's like hektish? First of all, even if it would be like hektish, if it would be a misappropriation, see, hektish is nishkan hefkevelt, it's not like the federal government. Now they just put out, they decided that the taka gonna, before they spend, you know, a $500 million or $1 billion, from now on there's gonna be a review to see if it's going somewhere, taka. This is a big step. A big step forward, and now there's, because of Solyndra, there's gonna be more of a, you know, they're not going to throw out $1 billion just stop without seeing if the company is bankrupt already. It's a good, Baruch Hashem. They're boasting about it. Baruch Hashem, I'm very, very impressed. They're being careful, very careful.
Why can we say Svar? We said it's Svar in Erkin by Kohen Gadol, for example, that he's not a clear in Shatnas because he.
Shkech, Chaim Shkech. Where'd you get this? You're a Rebbe? This morning I checked with one of my close Yedidim if there's electricity, and he was by Rottenberg. So he sent me back a text. He said, I don't think so. I'm by the Rebbe, there's no electricity. So I took that as a personal affront. Like, if by the Rebbe there's no electric, so what can a Lutfak do? It turned out he was right. But, oh, it was you?
Generator.
Huh? It's generator. See that? So the Rebbe is compelled. Who's a generator? That's like a kilayim. That's like a Rebbe with a half a Lutfak in it. A generator. It's a generator. It's a Lutfak. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Lutfak. Lutfak Yeshiva has power. Anyway, so Lemaise, the Untish Teshuva is getting back to you. So by Erech, how do we get to you? But anyway. You got into trouble. Yeah. Yeah. But then every coin, that's the question we had last week, then every coin should fall into that category. Because every coin has a head to the weird Big Day Kahuna, and there's no Miwa for Big Day Kahuna for every coin. Why Dafka the Kohen Gadol? Now we had another problem. You're Zichar right that ultimately that's going to have to be the Pshat. We're going to have to get a better understanding how that works. And the Melech, how does the Melech fit the category? We'll have to get to a better Pshat here. But Lamai said, the bottom line is, clearly this sugya, I feel, is not like the Minchas Chinuch, because the Minchas Chinuch learns that there's no issur mila at all by Shemen HaMishchan, which you mentioned last week. Clearly this sugya is learning that by Shemen HaMishchan there is mila, because otherwise the Gemara doesn't flow. The Minchas Chinuch wants to learn that the whole issur tavanah from Shemen HaMishchan is a new lav, ashiyite mimenu alzah, a new lav. So according to the Minchas Chinuch, the Gemara stam doesn't flow. Because then what are you learning from Shemen HaMishchan? Shemen HaMishchan never has mila. There's a separate lav that you're over by Shemen HaMishchan. The Gemara, but that's not so sure. Not the one like the Minchas Chinuch. The Gemara is saying, no, by Shemen HaMishchan there is mila. Okay. So in order to... Are you giving a musa shmusa? You're telling us pshat
the sugi. The whole purpose of
we don't need musa. These are people that are coming in freezing weather to a shir without lights, without heat. Don't have to say a musa. They want pshat the sugi.
Why can't that be pshat? That's the case. He's giving. So there he's not a zar.
We're not talking about for his carbon. The Gemara says in general, I would think there's no meal by a kohen gadol or melech. Oh, you're saying so it feels like a ben peretz. Okay. So you're saying with the musar and a ben peretz together we have a peretz. I'll be musar and a ben peretz. If we put both together, we have a shtikum halach. I'll be pshat, I don't hear what you, I don't hear. What? Okay. That's right, I'll be Musa. So it's all Musa. Benam Chaver, Benam Mokam, whatever it is, it's Musa. Okay. So what I would like to go through here now, just to get this thing, and I think we'll have much more of a cloakite, is to understand this this whole idea of pagam that we discussed. Whether the pagam, what is the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim? Bechlal, the Gemara made it so narrow that we said there's almost no machlokes left, because if there's a real pagam, even Rabbi Akiva agrees. If there's no real pagam, very extended use, even the Chachamim agree you don't need a pagam. So it's like this narrow, very narrow area, which we like to see when a machlokes is not menakotza lakotza, but then what's the machlokes? Since it doesn't seem to be what the machlokes is. Very unclear. So the Tikkun Ezra gives us a pshat, and I would like to elaborate on his pshat and use it to answer all the kashas that we have. Tikkun Ezra says like this: "Ubiikir adin the choluk bein dover sheyesh pegam u'dover sheene pegam." He's bothered with our kasha. This difference between pegam and that yesh lion. He says, "What is this? Ha'im heim shnei yifanim shel meila the bedover sheyesh pegam? Is it that there's two different parshas of meila? Something that has the valuation has one type of meila. Something that doesn't have the valuation is another type of meila." The bedover sheyesh pegam etzem amila al yidei hano pegam. You need both. Oineima deloila miila baano lechuda. Always miila is just having the hano. The miila is always just having the hano. It's just that when there's something that has a pegam, there's an added condition that you have to be pegam also. But that's not the miila. The miila is still the hano, which is what we began to discuss, whether the opinion that says that you need pagam, is that because that's the way you're taking from Hekdesh? It's almost like that becomes the meila. The meila is the pagam. In other words, one way to look at it is, it's a different kind of meila. Something that has the valuation. The way you are moil is by devaluating it. That is the Me'ilah. And if you don't devaluate it, you haven't been Me'ilah. That's one way. And the other way to look at it is that it's only a Tanai. The B'dovah Sheyesh Be'Pagam, really the Hanor L'Chudor is the Me'ilah. Elo B'inon Tanai Sheyivgay. Okay? So he comes with a very interesting idea in this Shaila. He says, if you look at the Gemara that we had first, where does the Gemara learn that you need Pagam? So the Gemara starts with Truma. The case of Truma is where a Zor eats Truma. B'shogeg, you have to pay back to the Kohen a Keren v'chemish. You have to pay back the Kohen the Keren, the principal, and the Chemish. So the Gemara says, just like over there, you need a Pagam. Right? You have to use up the Truma. If you don't use up the Truma, you have nothing to pay back to the Kohen. So from there we learn by Me'ilah, you also have to use up the kodshim to be chayiv. That's drasha number one. Drasha number two, if you look on your tes, Amud Aleph, the sugi that we just finished, fa'akshe rachmanu l'seita. You got it, the small, right after the kamash malon. Just where we left off on your tes, Amud Aleph. Fa'akshe rachmanu l'seita. The Gemara also compares it to seita. The afogav, but just like by Seita, even if you're not Poigim, right, you're still, in other words, the Seita doesn't have to be devaluated. If somebody lives with a Ba'ula, right, obviously if you live with a Basula, so you're being Poigim, because before she has one value, and after the Bia she has another value. But if the relationship is with a Ba'ula, so she doesn't go down in value. Still, you chayiv for Seita. And over there also uses the Lashon of Me'ilah. So there you learn that something that doesn't have a Pagam, then you moil just by using it. That's what the Gemara says. Gabi hekdish nami, nos not abas b'yoda mo'ala. If she just puts a ring of hekdish onto her finger, you moil because it doesn't have a Pagam. And then the Gemara says, but we had also that we learned from Avodah Zarah. If you remember that when the sugya started, we learned that there's a din of Pagam from Avodah Zarah. Over there it says, Vayiznu acharei haba'olim. Right? So we see there's a concept of Me'ilah by Avodah Zarah. And by Avodah Zarah, you do need to be Pagam. The Gemara says, Ki aksh rachmono avodah kichovim, da'ad is boshinu yigabi hektish nami, ad bika bekad. You have to use it for a davar choyl. If you use it for a davar kodesh, then you're not moyel. That's the Gemara. Now, if you go back to the Gemara, to the top of your Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara brings the pasuk. Vayiznu acharei ha-baalim. They went after the baalim. So if you look at the... if you look at Rashi on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the last Rashi, Vayimalu Vayiznu Achar HaBa'olim, Rashi says Sheshinu Atzmo Min Amokoim LaAvodas Kechovim. Right? So that's also called a Pagam, because when a person goes and he's Ovid Avodah Zarah, he's being Pagam like himself by going after the Avodah Zarah. Pagam in yourself. So the Tikkun Ezra wants to say a fascinating thought. He wants to say that it depends where you learn the Din Pagam from as to what the Pagam is as far as Me'ilah. If you learn from Truma, it's cut and dry. If you're learning it from Truma, it's cut and dry. Just like by Truma, you have to be Pagam. And over there, we know why you need to be Pagam. Because what are you paying back the Kohen? Exactly what you were Pagam. You took his $100 worth of Truma, and you ate it. You took the $100 away from him. Or you ate 50, so you have to give him back 50 of it. Right? 50% of what you took. So by Truma, it's clearly the Pagam reflects what you're paying. You're paying for the Pagam. That's what you're paying for. The Pagam is not a condition. It's not the pshat that if you have anor from truma, really if you have anor from truma, $20, you have to pay back $20. Happens to be that unless you devaluate the truma $20, you don't have to pay the coin. That's not the way it works. You're directly paying. It's this direct correlation between what you're paying and the pagam. So the pagam reflects the chayvus. Fuck stam is a condition you have to be pagan. The pagam is, in essence, what you're paying for. I go to the coin, I say, listen, I devaluated your nechosim. I devaluated a certain amount of your nechosim. That's what I'm paying you. That's the way it works. So he says like this, he says, therefore he holds, im yalos metruma, he says, if you're learning it from truma, he says, then the pshat is, the pagam, b'inan pagam v'ano, dum yud truma. The rak al yedei tziruf tishneim hu de mechayev mi'ile. Darei betruma atzma hachiv hu al etzem apagam. The chiv is for the pagam. Shemafsir atruma min hakoen. And the truth is what he's saying, l'choir is in toishis. Because if you look at toishis, that little toises, the one toises we want Machayev Doyle to do Matruma Poigin Venena. So toises says the Oksiv Ki Yoichal, the Efshal Achila below Pegima. Now look at the words in toises. Shemasir Atruma Min HaKoyim. You are taking the Truma away from the Koyim. That's what you're doing. You're taking the Truma away from the Koyim. So there the Pagam is in essence what you're paying for. The Pagam is not a condition. The Pagam is what you're paying for. But he goes on to say very simple, he says. But if you learn, okay, im yolif the boy pigame avodah zorah, he says, if you're learning from avodah zorah, so then it's a whole different vort. Then the pigame is not because the angel el tanai ba'alma darib avodah zorah ba'atzmoy ha'pigame eino hefzit. Not a hefzit. You're not, by avodah zorah, the issue is not you're devaluating something. You poigim yourself by going after Avodah Zorah. So there it's just a part of the Avera. He says if that's the case, then it doesn't necessarily reflect the essence of the Me'ilah. It doesn't reflect the essence of the Me'ilah. So this question, this is the way he wants to learn, this question of whether Pagam is the essence of the Me'ilah, or the Pagam is just a condition. The Me'ilah is Hanor. Depends on where you learn it from. If you learn it from Avodah Zorah, then it's a Tanai. If you learn it from Truma, then it's the essence of what the meal is. Now, if we learn that way, then we could say very simple that that's the Machlokes Rebbe Kiva and the Chachamim. Rebbe Kiva learns the inyan of Me'ila that needs a pagam from Truma. So therefore, according to Rebbe Kiva, it has to be that the actual use that you're doing would translate to a hefsid in Dine Momenis, just like Truma would. Right? Something that doesn't get devaluated until you have 20 years, it's not nicker any ever the devaluation. So there, everybody agrees. It's not anybody pagam. Then you have something that makes a noted devaluation, but it takes time. But it's noted. It's not like a gold cup or a piece of jewelry. So there, the Chachamim say, that's enough. The Bekeeper says, no, that's called Ovashem by pagam. What's the machlokes? Machlokes is, what is the pagam? If the pagam reflects the essence of what the me'ila is, right? Which means that the me'ila is taking that devaluation from Hekdesh. So to Bekiva, that doesn't work by a beged emtsoi. Because over there, in dine momenus, let's go to monetary. Monetarily, you wouldn't have to pay somebody for that. That devaluation would not qualify monetarily. If it doesn't qualify monetarily, it doesn't do anything by kachem either. That's all assuming that the introduction of pagam was there for a monetary purpose. Meaning, the Torah introduced pagam to tell you it's like truma. Just like truma, you're paying back for taking away the money of the kohen. By me'ilah, you're paying for taking away the value of hekdesh. Says Rebbe Kiva, if it doesn't fit that model, then it's a dovash ein pagam. It doesn't fit the model of how we introduced Pagam. We introduced Pagam, we learned it from Truma. What do we learn from Truma? Like Tosfos says, that you took away from the Kohen something, you got to give him back that value. This doesn't fit that model. That's Pshat and Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva needs a model that matches Truma. The Chachamim, on the other hand, to them, the Alfus of Avodah Zarah teaches us that the Begam is a Tanai in the Me'ilah, not the essence of the Me'ilah, it's a Tanai in the Me'ilah. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, as long as there is a noted devaluation process, so now it fits that category, and now you need that condition. What? Why are you paying? You're paying Hekdesh because you had an oil from Hekdesh. There's a condition that you need a pagam, so you got that condition. That pagam is not enough to reflect a monetary eschaivus. I don't need it to reflect a monetary eschaivus. The me'ilah is not different. The me'ilah by adova sheyesh by pagam, and the me'ilah by adova she'ein by pagam is always the same. It's because of the hanor that you had from Hekdesh, according to the Chacham. It's always the same. And Rabbi said, this will answer another question. Why do you pay back by a dovah sheyesh by pagam? Why do you pay back the whole hanor? In other words, we say by a dovah sheyesh by pagam, then there's a loymar lot sheyiv gun, right? But then, let's say the pagam was a pruta, the hanor was five prutas. What do you pay back? Five prutas. Yeah? To me, that's a better raya than the tikkun ezra's raya. Why do you pay back five prutas? If by adova sheyesh by pagam, the essence of the me'ilah is the pagam, then if the hanor was five prutas and the pagam was one pruta, you should only pay back one pruta. That's the essence of my me'ilah. That was my me'ilah. By adova sheyesh by pagam, the extra between what I was pregim and what the hanor that I had should be thrown out the window. Right? Should be thrown out the window. It could actually be, we don't have a clear record for Rebbe Kiva. Could be Rebbe Kiva Utaka agree? Could be Rebbe Kiva Utaka agree that Adova Sheyesh Bei Pagam, Utaka can't be chayiv more than the Pagam was. It could be. But clearly the way we paskin is not that way. Well, okay, so we'll get to Gzela. So now, but that's why I think it makes it very clear the machloikis between Rebbe Kiva and the Chachamim. Nobody's ignoring anything. Nobody's ignoring anything. These are not droshes gemurim. These are questions of yalfusis. Either way, the Torah doesn't have redundancy. So if we learn it out of Avodah Zorah, then we don't need the limud from Tumah. If we learn from Tumah, we don't need the limud from Avodah Zorah. And if so, Elamai, so the Teretz is, these are giluim. And the one who holds Avodah Zorah is enough of a gilui. That's good for what the Tikkun Ezra is telling us. So he says, fuck it. He says, this place is learning it from Truma. And that place is learning it. These are different possible ways how to learn the Din of Pagam. The point of the Tikkun Ezra is, depending on where you learn it from, makes a tremendous chiluk in halacha. That's his point. Now when we go back to the sugya, so I think we'll have clarity now on all the nekudas. First, and also, getting back to your svara, as far as the why the Kohen would not have, and this would also answer Melech. But so I think it's like this: the way we're learning now is that the pagam is really only a tanai, right? So the meila, the schayvus for the meila is always for the hanor that happened. The hanor that happened to the Hekdesh, that's the schayvus of the meila is for the hanor, and By a dover she'en be pagam, right? Everybody agrees it's just a hanor. By a dover she'en be pagam, but even by a dover she'esh be pagam, the hanor is the ikur, and the pagam is just a condition. The pagam is just a tanai that it should be called a ma'aseh me'ilah. What? What are you? According to everybody, the Alfus of Trum is only by Adova Sheyesh by Pagam. That everybody agrees. You know what I mean? The whole Alfus is only by Adova Sheyesh. By Adova Sheyesh by Pagam, that has nothing to do with Trum. Where do you learn what from? That's like a Saita. Yeah, yeah. Saita zikr use. The question, Avodah Zarah and Truma go in conjunction with each other. Saita and Truma and Saita and Avodah Zarah go opposite directions from each other. Saita teaches you by Adavah She'en by Pagam that you don't need a Pagam. And either Avodah Zarah or Truma teach you that you need a Pagam by Adavah She'esh by Pagam. That's clear. In other words, the redundancy here is Avodah Zarah and Truma. Saita is not redundant. Saita is taking me to a different direction. Saita is telling me something which doesn't have a Pagam, you don't need one. That's Saita. That's very good. Then we have Avodah Zarah and Truma taking me direction. If there is a Pagam, you need a Pagam. But now if we scrutinize the two drushes of where we learn it from, either Truma or Avodah Zarah, we will come out with a different conclusion what the Pagam has to accomplish. If you learn from Avodah Zarah, then the Pagam doesn't not megala to you that what you're paying for in the Me'ilah is reflective of the Pagam. It's just a condition. On the other hand, if you're learning it out of Truma, then the Pagam reflects the essence of the Me'ilah, of what the Me'ilah is. And therefore, according to the Chachomim, who say that even if you have something which is not a monetary type Pagam, like a Beged Emtsoi, the Gemara brings down, which has a very prolonged devaluation process, noted. It's noted. Because if it's not noted, it's like it doesn't exist. That's really what, if you have to look at it like this, there's three categories by Pagam. There's something which is not noted. You don't notice it. That's like jewelry. So that is non-existent. Just like we spoke about it as a dimion. If you have a bug that you can't see, it doesn't exist. La-loha. So a Pagam that's not noticed, that doesn't exist. It's not even on the screen. Then you have a Pagam that's noted, right? But it's not really monetary because each individual use doesn't make enough of a pagam to get you anywhere. A middle beged, it's so prolonged that even though you see it, you could see the pagam, but it's not enough in dine momentus, it wouldn't be enough to register. And then you have, of course, something which is yesh pei pagam, an axe. You bang, every time you bang, it gets another scratch, it gets another, you see it. It's that much worse than it was before. So by the difference between the Beged Emtsoi and the axe, the way we're touching up now, is totally in where what the Pagam has to accomplish. If the Pagam has to accomplish that's what I'm paying for, that's my Me'ilah, that's the essence of my Me'ilah, then you need that it shouldn't just be noted, but it should be graspable. That you can grab it and you can say, oh, that's what I'm paying for. If you learn, no, I'm paying always for the Hanor. The Me'ilah is the Hanor. There's a Tanai. There's a condition that there has to be a devaluation process. Okay, so I got a devaluation process. So the Chachomim, who, now again, to me, whether you learn from Truma or Avodah Zarah now just makes a way of making it clear. But conceptually, I would still go back to this way of learning, meaning, even if you learn from Truma or Avodah Zarah, this is the Machlokes of Rekim and the Chachomim. Whether the Pagam is the essence of the Me'ilah, and that's Rebbe Akiva's Shita. And therefore something which doesn't have a momentistic pagam on each ishtamshus, it can't be Me'ilah, there can't be a din pagam by it. You don't need it. Because it's, and according to the Chachomim, that the pagam is just a condition to be higher for the hanor that you had. So according to the Chachomim, that's why, that's enough. There's a pagam here. What am I paying for? I'm paying for my hanor or for my ekdash. That's what I'm paying for.
Could we say that the Chachamim before are learning from all three Yafusas? Sheino pagam, Sheyesh pagam, and then the Yafusa, that by Avodah Zarah there's this fine line pagam, and that's the same thing by Mila. Whereas Rebbe Akiva holds, there's no such thing as a pagam.
That's why I said, you can do with the drushes as you like.
What?
You can do with the drushes as you like. It's not beferish in the Gemara. You could say, you could call like Daniel, you use all the drashas, you could use this. Doesn't make a difference. All I'm telling you is that now it's seichel to understand the machlokes Rebbe Akiva and the Chachamim. Rebbe Akiva requires, says that the Pagam is here because the Pagam is a different type of Me'ilah. And therefore the Me'ilah has to reflect that Pagam. And if it can't be reflected in the Me'ilah, so then it's called a thing that doesn't have a Pagam. And according to the Chachamim, the Pagam is never the essence of the Me'ilah. The meal is always the same. Which, by the way, I have to tell you, Belibi, I guess you should be Noita Tasa Rabim. Belibi, I hear much more like the Chachomim way of learning. Meal is meal. You start telling me this. All these Yalfuses are just teaching me whether you need a pagam or you don't need a pagam. Well, you're telling me now you're rewriting Me'ilah? It's one mitzvah, one din of Me'ilah in the Torah. You go start telling me this. There's this Me'ilah, Me'ilah Sheish Pepekam, it's one parasha. No, it's one parasha. Me'ilah is always Hanor. The fact that you and Eilat from Ekdash happens to me, there's a condition. If it's something that devaluates, it has to get devaluated in the process. The process has to start when you're using. Okay, well, that's the Chachamim Shita. But Kiva says no. In order to be Mechayev Pekam, it means you're saying that it's a new kind of Me'ilah. And therefore, the Me'ilah has to reflect that Pekam. And if the use that you have doesn't reflect it, it doesn't. So the Droshes, to me, the Droshes are just there to make clarity, the way the Tikkun Ezra was learning. But the point is that this is the Machlokes to Rebbe Akiva and the Chacham. Now we go to now. So according to the Chachamim, it's always Hanor. According to Rebbe Akiva, it's not necessarily Hanor. But Eich Shi'ir, whether you learn like the Chacham Rebbe Akiva, the Hanor is not a requirement because of Machol Sasuris, like we spoke about last week, or like Arias. The Hanor makes that it's called a Maisa Me'ila. So therefore, and this holds true with the Rambam and Tosfos and everybody, that since the Hanor only reflects the Maisa Me'ila, so the rule of Zenen of Zem Eschayev over here is not so applicable, because the rule of Zenen of Zem Eschayev Loyam Rinan is only where the Isser here is the Hanor. The Isser is the Hanor. And therefore, but if the Isser here is Me'ila, and just as we said, the Me'ila is reflected by the Hanor makes that there was a Maisa Me'ila, so, I mean, to make it more yeshivish shesprach, to make it easier to understand, the Me'il is on the Cheftza, not on the Gavla. You follow? In other words, when we say Zenen of Zem Eschayev Loyam Rinan, it means you can't take an Isser Gavra, right, and say that I should be Chayev because something happened to the Cheftza. Okay? So by Chalev, the Isser is on me to have Anor from Chalev. So you can't tell me that I'm Chayev when a Yid gets murdered. Okay, the Avera is that a Jew was murdered. And my Reuven's problem is that he facilitated that murder. But the Avera was that the Jew got murdered. That was the Avera. Right? By Chalev, the Avera was that your body benefited from Chalev. It's not that the Chalev was consumed, that there was Hanor from Chalev. That's not what it is. It's that your body benefited from Chalev. By Me'ila, it's the fact it is on the object. It's the fact that the object of Hekdish was abused. Okay? So therefore, the rule of Zenen of Zem Eschayev doesn't really apply here. Because this is more an example like murder than an example of Zenen of Zem Eschayev Le'amrina. Because here, the Me'ila is not the fact that my body had a Hanor. The Me'ila is that the Hekdish was abused. Through you. You facilitated it. So now if I sent the shliach to do it, so through, via him, I facilitated for the Hekdish to be destroyed. So that's why the Rambam holds, I don't know what Tosfos is bothered with. The Rambam says, I don't even know what Tosfos is bothered with. The Me'ila is the Bizayin Zuzul Kachim. Zuzul Kachim is accomplished by the Hanor. Now you facilitated that Zuzul Kachim. So you're Chayev. That's why the Rambam is, it goes right over his head. The problem that Tosfos presents here. Well, Zenen of Zem Eschayev. He says, I don't even notice it.
By giving it to the friend, Zuzul?
What? By me taking Kachim and facilitating that it should be abused. When I have Anor from it also, it's not that my body had Anor, that's the issue. It's the fact that the Kachim was abused. The fact that the Kachim was abused. So that's the issue. If you learn that the issue would be the Gavra doing, having Hanor, right, like Arayas, right, so then you'd have Zenen of Zem Eschayev, like Chalev, you consuming Chalev, so it's not a din in the Chalev being consumed that the Torah has a problem with. Averis generally are broken up to these two categories. There are things which the Torah doesn't want. The Torah doesn't want that act to take place. And there are Averis that the Torah says, we don't want you to have a specific experience, just like I told you by a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah, the Torah wants the mitzvah to take place, the Torah wants that there should be a mezuzah on your house. The Torah doesn't want you to experience the act of putting a mezuzah in. The Torah wants that your house should have a mezuzah. I could use a shliach for that. The Torah wants my house should have a Ner Chanukah. I could use a shliach for that, because the Torah wants that conclusion. By Kiddush, the Torah wants me to experience the ma'is of Kiddush. So I can't have a shliach my Kiddush. I can listen to the Kiddush tenets like I said it, that's a different din. But I can't have a shliach make kiddush for me while I'm somewhere else, because I didn't experience it. Same thing by an aveira. So all I'm saying is, when the Torah gave a din in Me'ilah, the Torah had made a protection on kodshim. We don't want kodshim should be abused. Design kodshim. It's like there's a din b'shmeras on kodshim, there's a din Me'ilah on kodshim. It's a safety guard to kodshim. You can't be mezalzel kodshim. So now, how you mezalzel the kodshim? So the way we're explaining, according to the Chachamim, through Anah. Through having Hanoh from the Kutch. Yeah? So now, the Pshat is very simple. The Pshat is that if the Hanoh took place from the Kutch, so there was a Zilzul Kutch. So now, if you facilitated that Zilzul Kutch, so you're higher for facilitating that Zilzul Kutch. What are you asking me? Zenene, it's not Zenene. It's Chiru Kutch. And you facilitated the Kutch to be disgraced. Well, I didn't have Anor. The Torah gives a date of Anor. L'chaim, we don't care you having Anor. We care that the Kotchim is being mezuzah.
Are you using it for another carving?
We'll get to that. That's also mezuzah. Because if you take something which is supposed to be designated for one use of Kotchim, and now you use it for your use in Kotchim, that's a zilzul. Pigel is a zilzul Kotchim, even when you want to eat it. But I want to eat it the time that the Torah didn't tell me to eat it. It's also called a zilzul Kotchim. I take a carbon that's supposed to be one carbon, I shecht it l'shem another carbon. I'm over alive of lo yechoshev, right? Of well, I could have a mind a better carbon. According to most of the Tanoim, it's machlokes in Mishnah. According to most of the Tanoim, if you shecht the kochim kalim l'shem kochim kochim, it's also shalei l'shemo, right? It's one man dom is chaylik, but what's pshat? Because I abuse the kochim. So if kochim gets abused by via a human being having Anor, that goes in the category of Me'ilah. Now you facilitated that to take place. Also, I'm just saying that's why, according to the Rambam, he didn't see any issue. He didn't see any issue at all. We'll get to the Kohen Gadol. Just want to work our way through. Now we got Pagam clear, we got the Shlichus clear, we'll get that clear. So that's what he says. I guess we're already over time here. So. Be'etzem, there would be a tzad to say that there should be a meal there also. Be'etzem, there would be a tzad to say that there's a zilzul kutchim there too. The question is, if nobody's having anor from it, if no human being is having anor, so that's not meal. Be'echalami, if it's your dog, you're saying a dog of Hefkel. So anyway, so that's Lamaisa. That's what comes out. So now we understand. Now we go to the next phase. So that's the pshat, I think, over here. Now, why does Tosfos argue? So that I already explained last week. I don't have to chew that up again. I think the only issue that Tosfos argues is that Tosfos just holds that in Zen Nen of Zemeschai of Loyam Rinan, Tosfos holds lies also that you can't be miyachis a hanor from one person to another. You can't connect it. So Tosfos says, where's the connection? Where's my connection to that act? For that, Tosfos says, you put it into his mouth. That takes off Rav Shach's kasha. Because Rav Shach is assuming that what Tosfos means when he says you put it into his mouth, it's like so Mershus Hektish, the way we're learning, no. It's still the Me'ilah is the Hanor. The Me'ilah is not taking it out of Mershus Hektish. And why is that? Why is the Shlichus over here work like the Rambam? Because the Me'ilah is on the object, not on the person. Not on the person. Now, so that I think explains that. Now we go to the final phase of the sugya, the part that we were struggling with. And this is a struggle. And I still feel, everything else I feel is very glatt. The end of the sugya, the Kohen Gadol part, is very sure, especially when we start pulling in the Melech too. Just complicates it even more. It's true Rabbeinu Peretz takes out the Girsa, but he seems to be the only one that takes out the Girsa of Melech also. But I think we can clarify it like this. We could say that the Havamina and the Maskona of Melech and Kohen Gadol is precisely this Shaila that we're discussing now. And now we will, now the Svara will become clear, because like this. The fact is that we're saying that according to the Chachamim, Mi'ilah is always Hana. Mi'ilah is always Hana. And even Pagam, the Mi'ilah is Hana. Happens to be, there's a condition, you also need Pagam. If you don't have a Pagam, if you don't have a devaluation at all, it's not, but it's always the Hana. And that's why we had Toises who came up here and said, what's going on? How could you make a connection? Right? So, but the conclusion we said is not Shver Toises Kasha. Because the conclusion is that Mi'ilah is not really on you, it's on the object. So I want to tell you, perhaps, and now your turn will come up. Because one thing like this, that you could say like this, you could say, that's the two tzadim, the Hava Min HaMaskana of Nasi and Kohen Gadol. Because we do have a rule in Shas called Hoyil V'Ishtari Ishtari. There is such a rule in Shas. Hoyil V'Ishtari Ishtari. The Gemara in Menachos, even as a Hava Mina that the Gemara explains, that's the Pshat in the Pasuk of Nevelu Treifel Yoichlu HaKoyanim. The Gemara asks, Nevelu Treifel Yoichlu HaKoyanim. Why would you think that a Kohen could eat Nevelu Treifel? The Gemara says, Salka Daitacham Mina Hoyil V'Ishtari L'Gabayu Nevelu Malika. That's similar to the Sugya we were discussing. Hoyil V'Ishtari L'Gabayu Nevelu Treifel by Malika. Right? Malika normally is a Treifel. Break the Shedra Mafrekes. So I would think that also they can eat nevelos or treifas. That's the svar of hoyel v'ishtari ishtari.
Right? Why is there a treifa not a
nevelos? What?
Why is malika and treifa not a nevelos?
It's both. First you're making it into a treifa. Because you break the shedra. Yeah. That's what Rashi explains. And that's why I would think that since the Torah was matter for them on nevelu treifa, Kamash Malon, that it's also. But there's a Hoyo Vishtri that you would think that once it became permitted. Now, when we analyze the Me'ilah, our Shaila, is it possible to say such a Shvar Hoyo Vishtri Ishtri by Me'ilah? So I want to tell you two things. Number one, if it depends, on two things. Number one, the whole rule of Hoyo Vishtri Ishtri only applies where the Torah uprooted the Isser. If it's Dechuyah, there's no Hoyel V'Ishtri Ishtri. Hoyel V'Ishtri means the Torah removed the Isser completely from you. If it's just Aseidah, everybody has a Hoyel V'Ishtri, Aseidah Chaloisaseh, right? You could say Aseidah Chaloisaseh, so everybody has a Heter Kilayim, right? Using the Svar of Kilayim. Everybody has a Heter Kilayim. I should also be allowed to wear Kilayim, because since I'm allowed to do it when it's Kilayim B'Tzitzis, right? I could do Kilayim B'Tzitzis. So anybody should have a heter to wear kilayim. So hoyel v'ishtri only works with hutra. It's a whole shaila between Abayin Rovin in Mesechah Zvochim. That's how we come out. Hoyel v'ishtri ishtri only works if it's the Torah uprooted it completely. The Torah took it out. Not that you have a dechuya. Right? Otherwise it doesn't apply. So now I want to tell you like this. Which was part of what I was asking. What I was asking you was when we started this, we said, well, like I said, every kohen really has a heter to wear Big Day Kuhuna Kilayim. If you hold Big Day Kuhuna head, you just Kilayim everybody. Every Yisrael has a heter to wear Kilayim, but Tzitzis. But it has to be such a thing. That's why in that Gemara Menachos, where the Gemara says Hoyel V'Ishtri Ishtri, I once had a Yid, the Rebbetzin Soloveitchik, Allah HaShalom, her husband was sick for many, many years. Many, many years. He was in the old age home. From when he was a young man, came out. In the 50s, he was very sick. And he wasn't 100% coherent, but he would talk and learning even when he was not here completely. He would talk and learning. So I used to enjoy, I used to visit him. He was in a nursing home. I used to visit him. So he asked me on this Gemara, the Gemara Menachos, the Gemara says, when the Gemara brings down the Pasuk, Nevelu Treifel Yechel HaKoyanim, the Gemara says, well, why would you think a Koyan could eat it? So the Gemara says, because I would think, since they could eat Malika, they could eat all the Nevelus of Treifes. The Gemara says, Kamashon. Rav Yechanan comes and Rav Yechanan says, Pasuk zeh osad alei anovi l'dorsh. That's the Gemara. This Pasuk, so he asked me, Rav Soloveitchik, he says, I don't understand, he says. Why is, if you have nothing to say, Schweig. He was then very, he was a brisker with a Schweig, keep quiet. Rav Yechanan had no pshat. So why is Rav Yechanan, somebody came up with a pshat. Since the Velo Treif is mutter for Kohanim. Anyway, so I would think it's mutter always. Rav Yechanan comes, he says, Eli anovi will tell us pshat this Gemara. So keep quiet. If you have no other pshat, what are you coming in to say here? So I thought it was a cute kasha, even though there's many gemaras like this. So I spent the Shabbos afternoon working on it. And I came back to him, I said, I have a mahalach, why Rabbi Yochanan did it. So the reason why Rabbi Yochanan did it was, because there's another Rabbi Yochanan. When a person eats a trefa, how many yisurim is he over? So he's over clearly a lav of nevelu trefa. Clearly. There's a lav to eat nevelu trefa. And he's also possibly over an aseh. Because the Gemara brings down, zois hachaya asher teichlu. The Gemara in Eilu Trefa, I'm sure it's familiar, you remember this from the daf. Chaya echoil, she'en echaya loy teichlu. So there's an Isra Aseh to eat something which is a treif. So the Primi Godem says that whatever person eats a treif, he's over a lav and he's over Isra Aseh. So now I want to ask you like this. Is an Isra Aseh a lav or is an Isra Aseh an Aseh? As far as Aseh, Deich Elois Aseh. So it depends. If there's some sugis mashmas, there's the chilukei sugis. Because if you learn it's a Elois Aseh, then just like an Aseh is Deich a lav, and it could be deicha two lavim, like the Gemara says, mali chad lav, mali tre lav, could be deicha a lav and an isra asay too. Right? So then, the whole drush in the Gemara doesn't make sense. The Gemara says, I would think, just like a kohen could eat nevelu trefa by malika, so you can always eat nevelu trefa. That's because I say deicha lesis. That's not because it's hutter. There's a lav and an isra asay. Yeah, so what a lav and isra asay? But lav and isra asay is two lavim. But if you learn that an isra asay is an asay, then that's a great shtickle Torah. Because then asay is not deicha. So the fact that a kohen could eat it means the Torah took away the avera. So it's hutra. How does Eliyahu Novi hold about this? This shaila. This is a beferish shiraya. The Gemara brings down above a kama that they found Eliyahu in a basic verse. And they asked him, aren't you a Kohen? Tosis talks, so he gave them some kind of a teretz, the kever, tefach. So Tosis says, that's not really a good, the Ramban also says, that's not really a good teretz. And so the Ramban says, so what was Eliyahu Novi doing in the cemetery? He's a Kohen. So the Ramban says, he had a mitzvah. So the Velt fragt on the Ramban, what do you mean, Aseh is not doich, lois Aseh and Aseh? A Kohen has two, has a lois Aseh and an Aseh. The teretz is Eliyahu Novi holds, that an Isra Aseh is also a lav. So just like an Aseh could be deicha one lav, it could be deicha two lav. So if Yechanan came in the Gemara and he said, your whole shtickle Torah is based that the Kohen is the lot eat Malika, the Torah took away the Avera because ain't Aseh deicha lois Aseh. That doesn't work according to Eliyahu Novi. Because he obviously was not like you. So he said, Pasuk Zeh, also Eliyahu Novi Ladosh. He was so happy, he was dancing with me. His mom, he was a Gan Eden. I mamish made it was more the pshat I didn't even hold of, but I held it was Mesamei Chayid. That was my main mitzvah. So Lamaisa, the only time we could say Hayov Ishtri, so by Big Day Kahuna, the fact that a Kohen could wear begodim in the Me'ilah and not have Me'ilah, that really is not a good thing because there the mitzvah of Avodah allows him to wear the Big Day Kahuna. It's not an Ishtri. That's the Avodah permits it. But Shemen HaMishcha is different. Shemen HaMishcha, we find that it's not shaykh to do Shemen HaMishcha without having some extra oil. More than you need. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that he was moil when he anointed Aaron HaKohen, Shema Ma'alti. And the Banisham told him, don't worry, you're not moil, Kashemen Yerid Al Zkan Aaron, Ketal Chermoin, that's the whole Gemara. So Shemen HaMishcha is the only thing we have where you're using Kachin, you're using more than you need for the mitzvah, and there's still no din of meal. So every time you mekayim shemen hamishcha, it's an ishtari. It means the Torah says, okay, we're taking off the meal here. Right? We're removing the meal because it's yef shol tzamtzim to use the oil that's just for the mitzvah. So, oil. Why not? What? Why what?
Why does it need the whole limit altogether, Shem Mishra,
that doesn't
be
one?
Why not?
Regular curtain. You use oil with base amidish, you're not my
I'm talking about Shem Mishra.
Shem Mishra is oil with base amidish. Why wouldn't there be meal?
Shem Mishra, they have their own.
That's why I said, the Minchas Chinuch wants to say like that. It's not the. Our Sugi is clearly saying that Shem Mishra has regular meal. So I want to tell you like this. If you learn Me'ilah is on the object, then there's no hoil for ishtari ishtari. Because it's a din on the oil, it's not a din on the person. But if you learn me'ila is the person, like other isurei hanor, then if the Torah al-kochach removed me'ila from you by Shem HaMishchad, it would be a tzad to say he removed it elsewhere too. So you could say that without the gilui, since we see that there's a tzad to say that me'ila is on the gavra, and Tosfos seems to apply this question of zenen and zevloim is chayv le'aminim, so it's a din on the gavra. So if it will be a din on the gavra, then we would say that since the Torah has to permit by Melech also, because Melech also gets anointed with Shem HaMishchad, the Torah has to permit it for him to allow the Mashiach. So now there's a hoil of ishtari. Kamash will know, you know why not? Kamash will know because Taket's not a din in the Gavra. The Me'ila is on the Cheftza. And therefore, there's no ishtari. The Torah could say, on this there's no din of Me'ila. It's on this. This is a contained thing. On this there's no Me'ila. It's not on the Gavra. That's, I think, how you have to learn at least the Havamin of the Gemara. That Me'ila is a din on the Gavra. If Me'ila is a din on the Gavra, and by Shem and HaMishcha it's not possible to do it without a Hoyel v'Ishtari, then there will be such a Havamin. So your Teretz has a Malach. Okay, we'll stop.